If we want to learn from the wise old person, then we need to listen to not just the Gospel of John, but to these letters, which are really a great commentary through the Gospel of John. So if you're going through John with me, my favourite commentary on the Gospel of John is 1 John, 2 John and 3 John. So in his letters, John, this wise old disciple, keeps using the same kind of phrase and keeps going on about the same thing. He keeps saying, love one another, love one another, love one another. And this isn't a new thing. This is actually something that he learnt from Jesus, because John is a follower of Jesus. He learnt this phrase and this concept from Jesus. But what does he mean by love? You guys have all probably used the word love in the year that's just gone by. Who here used love when they described a food? Like, I love chocolate, yeah? Someone might have said that. And then maybe you said it about a pet. Like, I love my dog. Who said that? So you can love chocolate, you can love a dog. Okay. What about colours? Maybe you said, I love red. Maybe red's your favourite colour and you love red. So you can love a colour too. What about days of the week? Who here loves Fridays or Saturdays when you wake up and you don't have to go to school or work? Or for maybe for you parents who work Saturdays as well, maybe you love Sundays because you have to come to church, but that's not quite as bad as work, you know? So we love days of the week. We love pets. We love food. We love colours. And then we say maybe to our husband and wife, if we're older, or maybe to your brother or your sister, or hopefully your mum and dad, you say, I love you, mum. Well, that's a bit weird, isn't it? You have the same kind of thing for your mum as you do a colour. That's odd, isn't it? So what is this thing, love? We just kind of use the word for everything. What does it mean? What does John mean by the word love? John tells us. He tells us through these three letters, 1 John, 2 John and 3 John. He constantly tells us. He says, if you want to know what love is, don't look around in the world to see what love is. You're going to get confused by that. Don't even love the world. He says, don't even look inside yourself. The answer to what love is isn't found when you look inside yourself. How do we know what love is? Well, John says, God is love. So to know what love is, we look to God, because God is love. He is love. That's from 1 John 4 to 8, which is a great thing to highlight in your Bible if you've got one on you. He is the source of love. He defines love. And there is no love without him. God is three persons in one, which is what we use the word Trinity for. And this is a difficult concept. But one of the best ways to understand God as three in one is to understand how he loves as three in one. Did you know, before God even made the world, before anything was made, God was love by himself. He was showing perfect, beautiful love even before he created. He didn't need to create us to practice love on. He was already love. The Father, the Son, and the Spirit were in unity together, in perfect love, together from the beginning. And creation was another expression of that love. And all three persons of God show us love. So if you want to know what love is, you can look to God the Father and see real love. God the Father sent his Son as a sacrifice to save us from our sin. The Father, God the Father, adopts us as his children. So for the parents here, you gave birth to your child, so I'm sorry, they're yours. There's no way out of it. They will always be your child. And children, you are stuck with your parents forever. They'll always be your parents. You can't really get new ones on earth. You can get a heavenly parent. But God chose you. There's something beautiful about that. There's something that really shows us love, that God the Father chose us and adopts us as his children. That's why John starts his gospel saying, those who believe in Jesus become children of God. And then the whole way through all of his letters, he calls us children. Even us adults who are reading his letters, he calls us children all the time. He's not trying to insult us. He's just reminding us that we know love when we look at God the Father, who adopts us as his children, who sacrificed his perfect son that he might have sons like me, imperfect sons. That's how the Father shows love. And let's look at the Son. How does Jesus, the Son, show us real love? Well, when he was on earth, Jesus showed love to his disciples. In John 13, one of my favorite stories, and I'm giving away a little bit because I'm going to speak on this later on. I'm already in chapter 11, so I'm not far off. But Jesus washes the feet of the disciples. I'm going to have to be honest with you all. I really don't like feet. Who here doesn't like feet? Who thinks feet are gross? Not just me. They are disgusting. I'll touch my wife's feet. That's about it. All the rest of you? Yuck. No, thank you. I find feet really gross. And in Jesus' time, it was even more like that. Like, I'm wearing big boots today. So when I walked in here, my feet are about as clean as they were when I first woke up this morning and had a shower. But in Jesus' time, everyone's feet were filthy. And Jesus washes his disciples' feet. So he's the master. He's like up here and he stoops down and washes his disciples' feet. And then once he's washed their feet, he turns to them and he says, a new commandment I give to you. Love one another just like I have loved you. Is love a new commandment? It's not, is it? But it also is a new commandment because Jesus is saying there's a new commandment. When it comes to loving, you were given that as an old commandment in the law. When Jesus sums up the law, does anyone know how Jesus sums up the law? He sums it up by saying, love the Lord your God with all your heart and your soul and your mind and your strength. So that's the first of the summary of God's whole commandments, is to love God with everything you are and everything you have. And then Jesus said the second most important is to love your neighbor as yourself. So the summary of the law, the old law, was love. But Jesus said this is new. Because before then, God didn't say love like Jesus loved. Now, this old commandment becomes a new commandment as well, to love in the way that Jesus loved. It's a new example for the children of God to follow, is to love like Jesus did. He lowered himself and he did the dirtiest job so that other people didn't have to and so they could be blessed by that. Now, John, in this book, he said, I give you a new old commandment. In John 2:7, 1 John 2:7, he says, I give you a new commandment that's an old commandment. And so John does the same thing. And that's really strange. But what he's doing is he's saying, once again, Jesus showed us another way to love. So when Jesus said to his disciples, here's a new commandment, love like I am as I wash your feet. But that commandment stands. And everything Jesus did from that point on is an example of the love we should have. Even when he died on the cross, that's an example to us, his children, of the love we should have. Once again, we have a new example of God-like love. Imagine being John. Jesus says, love as I have loved you. And he just washed feet. So you're thinking, oh, all right, okay. I mean, I don't like feet. I don't want to wash anyone's feet. I'll be honest with you. No one here. I have no desire to wash your feet. But Jesus demands that that kind of love is the love I should have. And so that's difficult. And John's thinking, all right, we are meant to love each other like this. This is pretty extreme. This is an extreme kind of love. Back then, that was a job for slaves and servants. It wasn't a job you did for each other. So this was difficult. But then imagine being John as you see Jesus going to the cross. You see him go to the cross and you see him pick up the cross. And in your ears is ringing that same phrase. Love one another as I have loved you. Love one another as I have loved you. And then he gives his life. He breathes his last breath for his disciples. And John would still be able to hear, love one another as I have loved you. I mean, it might not be that we literally wash feet or literally die on a cross for others, but this is a high call. This is heart. This is love in action. In 1 John 3:18, John, this wise old disciple, says, love with actions and truth. It's easy to say, I love you. See, I just did it then to a whole room full of people. I love you. That's easy. And sometimes we feel love. And when those feelings come, it's quite easy to feel love when you feel love, isn't it? But John is asking us to do love. Because when we look to God who is love, we see love in action. God doesn't just feel love from us and yell from the heavens, I love you. That's not what he does. He didn't yell from the heavens, I love you. He sent his only son, his most treasured person, down to die for us. Now Jesus didn't just say to his disciples, I love you guys. You, John, I love you. Love you so much, mate. And then walk off. He didn't just say it. He didn't just think it or feel it. Jesus washed the feet of his disciples. That's like your teacher at school washing your feet. That's crazy. But Jesus did that. He didn't just say it. He did it. And then there's the Holy Spirit. Some of you might have thought, I forgot the third person of the Trinity, but I haven't. The all-important Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit doesn't just whisper on the breeze, I love you. The Holy Spirit comes and dwells in us. That is a mind-blowing act of love. Did you know that when you become a believer, a disciple, a follower of Jesus, the Holy Spirit lives with you. He's stuck with you forever. Not a moment without you. Always with you in your good moments and your bad moments. I mean, marriage. Who here is married? Anyone? A few of you? It's difficult to be with a person so often and love them. And when we get married, that's why most movies that are romantic end with a marriage. Because we know that's such a high thing to say, I love you so much, I want to be with you forever. But the Holy Spirit goes beyond that. My wife, sometimes she comes to me and goes, look, Kyron, I need some alone time. And she goes away. The Holy Spirit never gets to do that with me. God, the Spirit, is stuck with me. That's how much he loves me, that he deals with me 24/7, living in me. So we look to God and see what love is. It's not just thinking about it or feeling a feeling of love or saying things like, I love you. Wise old John tells us in 1 John 3:16 to 18, this is how we know what love is. How helpful is that? We can know what love is. This is how we know. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Dear children, Let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. We see in Jesus an act of love that is in action and in truth. God loves in actions and truth. This combination is not always what we want, but it's what we need. You see, God met our need, our greatest need, and considered our eternal self. God knows the truth about us, and so he has the ability to love us in the light of that truth. That is why, if you read 1, 2, and 3 John, I challenge all of you to read that maybe this week. 1, 2, and 3 John, they're very short letters. But John is constantly correcting, and he sometimes even seems a little bit harsh when he's telling us to love. But that's because he's loving us with the truth. He's loving us by guiding us to things that are the best for our eternal self. Any children here being disciplined by their parents this week? Who received maybe a smack or a telling off or some time out? One up the back there, you're probably like me. Out of all the three kids in my family, I receive the most smacks. It's not even up for debate. And anyone who knows me is like, not surprising. But did you know discipline is love? God disciplines those he loves. That's because it's this action in truth. So sometimes even discipline can be love. We're called to this kind of love, this crazy kind of love, this love that God has shown us. It's very hard. Did you know Jesus said, he told us how we were going to stand out. He told us how the world was going to know that we're his followers. It's not because we're carrying a Bible, though carrying a Bible is a great thing. It's not that we meet together on Sundays, though meeting together on Sundays is a great thing. The world actually can tell that we're followers of Jesus because we love one another. Not just any kind of love, but because we love one another like he loved us. That's what sets us apart. We do it in a way that makes the world take notice. Jesus' style love is the proof that we are Jesus' followers. We prove that we are children of God when we love like God the Father loves. John even says, in 1 John 3:10, anyone who does not do what is right is not God's child, nor is anyone who does not love their brother and sister. Not only does it mark us, does it show that we're Jesus' followers, but if we don't have this kind of love, we're not Jesus' followers. That's crazy. I don't know if as a church the world looks at us and sees that kind of love. That is a huge challenge. That is a massive challenge. So what we're going to do is we're going to get into small groups now. And I encourage you to get your family involved. I want you to make a small group. You can make it on the floor. You can shuffle chairs a little bit. We've got a little bit of time now. And I want you to answer three questions. I should have put these on an overhead, but you're going to just listen really carefully and get them in your brain. One, what is an example of love we should see at EDAC? So give me an example of something we should see at EDAC. If we're loving one another, Jesus style. If we're loving one another like God loves, because God is love. So that's the first thing, an example of love we should see at EDAC. The second one, and this is much harder, one act of love you will commit to do. So children, maybe you can commit, when there's a table of food, maybe you can commit to waiting till the other kids go first because you love them the way Jesus loved. Adults, I don't know how you're going to do this. It's just as difficult. But what is an act of love you can commit to do? So maybe if you're involved in a life group, which is a great setting for love at EDAC, maybe you can say, next time a life group member is sick, I'm going to cook them a meal and take it over to them. Maybe you can commit to that. But this is a commitment. This isn't a hypothetical, oh, maybe one day I might, perhaps, if I feel like it, possibly, if everything's exactly how it should be, do this one thing. This is a commitment to do it. You are doing it. So if you're not going to commit to do anything, then just maybe say, I'm not going to do anything. That's the most honourable way to go, if you're not going to do anything. So first, an example of something we should see at EDAC. Number two, something you're committing to do it. I'm going to do this act of love. I'm going to do it. I'm going to find a time and I'm going to do it. And the third thing, what can you change in your life that will make you more willing and able to love others? So we're turning over a new leaf. What year is it now? 2023. That's good. So in 2023, what am I going to change about my life to make me more able and willing to love others? You, my friend, are amazing, and I feel the love. I see the love in action. So what are we going to do? I'm going to give you an example from my life. In my life, I realized that I was fully at capacity. Like, I was running around. This is a bit gross. Sorry. Who here's seen a chook with its head cut off? It's just running around. Doesn't even know where it's going because it's got no head anymore. It's a bit gross. I'm sorry. But I was a little bit like that. I was just running around. And I was challenged that, how am I going to love other people if I don't even have time for them? Like, some of you would have seen me then. I was like, hi, good to see you. And I'm off to the next thing. So me and my wife actually sat down and we reorganized our life. I stopped doing things. I ditched things from my life. I also sold a whole bunch of things that I didn't need, because then they're things I don't have to think about, things that don't clutter my house and things that I don't have to maintain. And now I have more space and time and I'm more willing to love others. So that for me was a huge thing. But maybe there's something else. I would encourage life groups. If you're not plugged into a life group, maybe that's something you can change about your life in 2023. How do you love 250, 300 people at EDAC? Oh my goodness, your mind, your head will explode into 1,000 pieces. Don't even try. What you need to do is narrow it down a little bit. Life groups really help with that. Narrows it down and go, okay, loving people like God loves is difficult, but I'm going to do it by narrowing it down to a life group. I'm just going to try on those. I'm going to end with a verse / blessing from John himself. This is from 1 John 4:7-12. It's a great memory verse or something to highlight. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love amongst us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we love God, but he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. But if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. God bless you. Hope you go and show the love of God to your brothers and sisters.